Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts all show long on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've got Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, joining us later this hour at 7:30. We'll get into the latest of Vanderbilt's offseason with him with camp right around the corner, not that far away from college football starting here in the Nashville area, SEC area, which is pretty hard to believe when you think about it. That coming up at 7:30. Call Your Shot Friday coming up at 7:45 as well. So taking your bold predictions in the world of sports, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, it's looking more and more like the college football playoff expanding to 12 teams could become a reality. Now, the current plan, and this is coming from Heather Dinich from ESPN, they could be meeting next week in Chicago to decide the fate for the 12-team format. Now, I don't think an official vote would come at that point, but College Football Playoff Executive Director Bill Hancock saying the proposal, quote, the proposal at its heart was created to provide more participation for more players and more schools. In a nutshell, that is the working group's message. So that's going to be on the table for the committee to deliberate at that time. The current agreement with the format now runs, I believe, through the 25-26 season, but there's a chance that if approved, the 12-team playoff could be adopted by 2023. So what do we think of this? Now that it looks like the idea of a 12-team playoff could become more and more likely, what do we like about that? What do we dislike about the idea of a 12-team playoff, particularly the way it could be set up with home games as well?
Well, look, then that's where I'm glad Andy Staples wrote the column he did, and I'm sure there's others out there too. That's the thing that infuriates me. It's so stupid. I can't get off this because there's plenty about it that I think makes sense. It is fundamentally different. You are really changing things if you do this, and we talked about this with Nicole Auer back yesterday. I mean, there's a lot of challenges here, and yes, there is a possibility the team's going to play 17 games, which is just a lot. But like I said, I went through what might be the 12-team this coming year, and you can, of course, go back for the last few years, and I came away with 8 of 11 games probably being good. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean they would have been. You know, any game could be a blowout, and maybe some of these games we just expect Alabama to roll wouldn't be, but 8 of 11 games looked like that would be a pretty good matchup, pretty competitive game. That's pretty good. So I like that. The idiotic part of this thing, and that's the word Staples used, and that's probably a gentle word. They want the quarterfinals in this situation, the proposal as it is now, to be in bowls.
Yeah.
To be, and again, this goes back to the whole thing with college football, the cronyism and the way over reliance on the bowl system. I mean, it's already been, to me, it's what it is. It's what it should be. There's a lot of bowls out there, and teams get it as a reward, and it's another game, and it's football, and you can sell them, and it's fine. But they can't – if you're doing this, you can't do everything. You can't make everybody happy. Like, I'm sorry, I don't care with the Rose Bowl. It's not the same, man. It used to be the granddaddy of them all. I love the Rose Bowl. It's just not the same. So if you're going to do this and have this huge playoff, I don't care about the bowls having their piece of it. And it's absolutely ridiculous that a 1-4 seed would never get a home game.
Yeah.
But the 5-8 seed would get home games. When they're playing the bottom four, 9-12, they'd host them. And then, so let's think about a fan real quick. Let's think about a fan who cheers for,
Clemson.
Yeah, there you go. Okay? So go to a neutral site game to cheer them on in the ACC title game, and then go to a neutral site game to cheer them on in the quarterfinals, and then go to a neutral site game to cheer them on in the semifinals, then go to a neutral site game to cheer them on in the national championship. So if you're incredibly filthy rich, you can go to these games. And even then, you might like miss one. It's so stupid.
And not only neutral site games, but, I mean, more than likely, neutral site games spread out all over the country. Like, it's not like they're going to be in the same geographical location either.
All the bowl. Oh, yeah. Got to make sure the Fiesta Bowl is happy. Got to make sure Peach Bowl is happy. It's that has to be blown the hell up. It's so stupid. And, you know, think about this, too. Like, so last year, I think a lot of people became more conscious of, obviously, we know how much money college football makes and makes for the schools. But also, I think people became more conscious during COVID of what it means to the communities, right? Like Tuscaloosa and Knoxville and Madison and Eugene, Oregon and East Lansing, all these places, like businesses, lives are built around 8 weekends of football. So think about what it would mean to a Tuscaloosa, a Columbus, Ohio, you know, wherever you want to go, State College, Pennsylvania, to have a home playoff game. And, you know, you can do whatever you want with the revenue. Split that up, that's fine. But still, like, the town itself is going to benefit so much. It's kind of like a little payback for, you know, how many people lost so much, you know, in the last year. And I know that's a few years down the road. But, like, help them. And also give us – give fans a reward. And also on TV, I want to watch, you know, I want to watch like Georgia having to play at Wisconsin. I mean, Bob Bowlesby, get the hell out of here. Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, well, we wouldn't want, we wouldn't want a, not a good idea to have a playoff game in East Lansing on January 7th. What does the NFL do? They play in Lambeau on January? What are you talking about?
Like,
awesome. These people think everyone's just stupid. I mean, seriously. Like, some of the crap that comes out of their mouth is just, like, I think you're all idiots. It's insane. So that the thing is, it ruins everything else for me because it's so dumb that I can't even really focus on anything else. Like, seriously, you said that, dude. We've been watching the NFL playoffs in cold weather in January our entire lives. Like, one of the most famous football games ever was Dallas at Green Bay and Lambeau 1967. Get out of here. Sorry, I didn't even expect to get all pissed off.
Well, but, to your point,
stupid.
And then you factor that in with, you know, the other ways college football is essentially trying to be like the NFL. Like, that's essentially what they're doing here. And Paul Feinbaum from the SEC Network talked about that, how college football is essentially trying to be like the NFL at this point. Here's what Paul Feinbaum had to say.
The problem with college football, they don't have any leadership. So what are they going to do? They're looking around going, who is doing this right? Where are all the eyeballs? Where's all the money? It's the NFL. That college football right now cannot compete with the NFL, even though they probably shouldn't be trying, but their numbers are inferior. So what they're going to do is just break the bank. They're going to open this thing up, and suddenly we're going to be talking about wild card games and home field advantage in college football playoff, just like we do with the NFL.
So you've got home field advantage for one part of this.
We will, then, sort of.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I guess the way they justify this is, well, yeah, the 1-4, they're not going to have a home playoff game, but they don't have to play that game either. I mean, they just got the week off. You've got the bye week, as you like to call it. So?
That's actually a bye.
It is. Well, we can bring up the definition. But, which somebody, by the way, included yesterday on the text line as well. So yeah. I'll bring that back up as well. But that's how they're going to justify it. Well, who cares? They don't have to play. They just get the week off at that point. I'd love to have a home playoff game if I'm Alabama or if I'm Clemson or whoever ends up in the top four.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
You're a top four seed. You don't get a home playoff game?
Yeah.
Reward,
number five does.
Right. Reward for your fans. Reward for your players. Reward for your coaches. Reward for your community. No. But no, that's okay. You can go out and play in the Fiesta Bowl for the quarterfinals and then the Rose Bowl for the semifinals, and then we'll go to the Orange Bowl for the championship, and your fans will all come. Idiots. It's just so stupid. I want to know who came up with this crap. The more I think about it, I haven't even thought about that much because I was in Julio, you know, zone for the last, you know, however many days. But it's like you've ruined – it's like seriously, it's like the turd in the punch bowl. It really is, like to come with this stupid idea.
Should we get Bob Bowlesby on the show?
You got his number? Sure. I don't know if Bob – so Bob Bowlesby's the guy who has to, you know, talk about this stuff. I don't know if he came up with it, but that is just a hilarious comment. And it's great, and it does go well with what Feinbaum said. You're trying to be the NFL. But, oh, I – you know, there's always some stupid excuse. Well – You know, we the kids have, you know, the exams or whatever.
Yeah.
Dude, you got college basketball teams that fly home at 4 a.m. on a Tuesday in February. Get
worried
out
about
of
exams.
Here.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trevor texting in. A Rex rant on a Friday. I love it.
Yeah, this was a spontaneous one. Can I just, can we just tape this and just play this Monday if I can't come up with anything
good? I'd love to.
I mean, it's just, it's insane. I mean,
Staples used the word idiotic.
Right, again, like that's, he's being nice. I can't use some of the words I want to use. Like, it's just, you're, and again, like TV, I understand. We all understand. What is it? It's TV
yes.
product, right?
That's what
but
it is.
But it's also worse because of this. I want to tune in and see on the off year for Alabama that they have to go travel, you know, to play Ohio State. I mean, I know we always think they're going to be both top four seeds, but one year they won't, you know? I want to say, shoot, man, think about like a game at Neyland Stadium. I mean, I know that's there's a lot of different ways that seems like fantasy right now. But I'm just saying, like the fact that you, like it's actually better to be the six, you know, so you get that home game. It's a big deal.
Well, I don't know
deal.
If it's better.
No, but
I mean,
it's
you get
a
the
big
week
deal.
Off, so you don't have to play the game.
Right. But that, but I think that on its own, hosting a playoff game, that, to me, has always been, if you're going anymore, you got to do home games. You have to. And I think that's a huge deal for everybody associated with a program, and it's just being ignored here. And again, it's fans are being ignored, and you are seriously asking fans to possibly go to four bowl games. This is comical.
Here's another example of how dumb this is. So let's say Auburn is the 8 seed and Alabama's the 1 seed.
Yep.
And Auburn wins their first round matchup at home. And then Auburn and Alabama go to, like, Dallas.
Yeah. Great example. Right.
Like,
Auburn should have to be going into Tuscaloosa.
Yes.
They got their home game. Awesome. Won it. Now you go into there. What an incredible scene. Oh, at the USF&G Sugar. I mean, at least that would kind of make – I mean, New Orleans would still be, you know, fun. But I mean, it's just – no. That's a great example. There's so many – you look at this, and it's just like, fix that. I mean, if you fix that, then there's still problems with 12, and it is very much – but I kind – I mean, look, we haven't even talked about, like, I do like the highest-ranked champions just to make sure you don't have – that random, you know, champion who really shouldn't be there. I mean, I like that they did that. I think that's smart. There's plenty of access. The Notre Dame thing is really interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Notre Dame can't be a top four seed under this because they aren't going to be in a conference. But it's actually it's better for them. They have way more access to getting into a playoff now, and they retain their independence and all the money that they don't have to share with anybody. So I think it's smart of them to make that compromise. A lot of this is it's going to be good. That part cannot happen. Can't happen.
Michigan at Ohio State in the Peach Bowl.
Yeah. There you go. Awesome. Yeah.
Texas, Oklahoma, you know. Somewhere else.
Yankee Stadium.
In the Pinstripe Bowl?
Yeah. In the Meineke Car Care Bowl.
There you go. We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Got some of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll see if Rex Road chucks his laptop in the next segment as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Father's Day, ESPN 102.5 The Game is saluting frontline fathers. Submit written descriptions of fathers who are serving on the front lines, including in the military, hospital workers, firefighters, or police. This week of June 14th, 102.5 The Game will air those submissions via call-ins, text messages, our website, and on social media as well. Visit thegamenashville.com for more information. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game discussing possible college football playoff expansion to 12 teams and the format that Joe Rexroad's got a pretty big issue with the top four seeds basically just being left out of a home game at this point when it comes to this discussion. Chris, Joe, on the text line, says, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Cranky Joe, would you be happy if they had regional sites and teams slotted into regional bowl games so the higher seed team can still have a regional game close to home so they're not traveling all over the country? I agree with the home games, but would this be some kind of compromise?
Hell no. get that out of my face. Sorry. I was just trying to play up the
trying
cranky,
to really get back out
Joe.
There. Yeah.
No. No. Regional. I like college football in college football stadiums on colleges. On colleges. On college campuses.
We play on top of the college.
Yeah, not on top of the admin building. No. I mean, what are the best... Like, what's the best thing about college football?
The atmosphere.
Tailgate,
there's the whole thing, the pageantry, all of it.
You're like, Feinbaum's right. You know, number one sport in this country is the NFL, and there's some great scenes around NFL stadiums
it's
and tailgating.
Same,
it's not the same. Now, your favorite team is the closest, and Kansas City, I'd say, is pretty strong. But it's not. They don't match up to the best in college football. Hell no. And this is something that we should celebrate and embrace. And look, Feinbaum's, like you said, NFL number one. College football is still a strong number two, okay?
Yeah.
And you don't need to do this stuff. You don't need – this is placating the bowl people, and, man, it's enough of that. It's just enough. College football is great because of the games are great, obviously, but it's the fan passion and the pageantry and everything around a game. Is it separates it. There is nothing to me quite like all that in any other sport.
Well, and as Dave brings up on Twitter, we brought this up yesterday with Nicole as well, not to mention asking NFL prospects to play another three games. A lot of them will probably sit out at that point. I don't know if I buy that they'll sit out if they're in the playoffs, but let's just say it goes the distance. You're not a top four seed. And you got to end up playing three more games, 17 games, to win a national championship. It's probably unlikely that if you're, you know, an 11 seed, probably not going to win the national championship just based on what we've seen out of the top four that's usually in there. Probably going to end up being one of those teams most years. But it is possible. Like, you could end up playing 17 games in college to go win a national championship. And to Dave's point, a lot of those NFL prospects on those teams – that's a lot of extra wear and tear.
It is. Now, I don't know. I don't know if I buy that they'd be sitting. That's interesting. I mean, even.
Well, I agree. I don't think they will.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Dave said that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, even you heard, like, John Robinson this year when they talked about Caleb Farley. And it's a totally different situation opting out for COVID. And he had more than ample reason, given all the stuff. But NFL, like, if. NFL GM sees someone who's like, you had a chance to win a national championship, and I mean, I get it. Like, you don't want to get hurt, and you want to maintain your draft status. I think moving forward, we may see some guys who just totally don't play their third season. You know, if they're like, and it's just like, you know what,
they're going to Jamar Chase this thing, and
yeah, I think you'll see some of that. But I think if you're in with a team. I think that'd be a hard sell to GMs. Like, okay, so you went through all this stuff. You played, the early season game against, whoever, and some of these conference games, and then you didn't at the most important time. I think for the most part, people will be in. But yes, it's asking a ton. It's asking a ton. Even again, forget the 17. I mean, 16. Okay, 12. You got your conference championship game.
You're 15,
a one seed,
and that's hard to do,
right? If 15, you've had a few teams that play 15. I mean, you're a one seed now. Look at a 16. That's what we used to think of as a full NFL season.
Yes,
but to the point of players sitting, maybe not in the playoff, but what if Ohio State is undefeated? They're in the Big Ten title game. They're clearly going to be in the playoff. What if some banged up Ohio State players? Ryan Day sits them for the Michigan game.
Yeah.
You've got this Ohio State Michigan game, and then you've got whoever their starting quarterback isn't playing, and they treat that week like it's week 17 in the NFL for playoff teams.
Yeah.
See, now that's a good point. And you think about some other people who are freaking out about that. Like, how could you miss that? But we've made everything about the playoff. Everything's about the playoff now. So you just automatically are reducing importance from all these things, right? The conference championship, at least that does have more value now in this context, but those big rivalry games, what matters more? Alabama-Auburn, what matters more? For a lot of people, it's like, how could you say anything matters more? But for Alabama, it's like, we want to get through to the end and be healthy.
I don't know what the point is here, but I got somebody on text line that says, hey, Rex Rhodes, when's the last time you actually sat in a seat in a college stadium, not counting the press box?
Let's see.
Are they calling out your college football fandom here at this point?
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think. I definitely...
I mean, it is part of your job.
Right. It's hard. When you cover sports and stuff, it's hard to... like. Now, I do like to go in, like I go to Preds games sometimes. College football, have I done that? I guess not. See, it's hard. See, the problem with college football and doing that is that there's so few games, so you're probably covering them, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're not a Preds beat writer, which I'm not, you know, then you can go to stuff like that and enjoy it. I love it. I mean, I love going to like baseball games too, but it's been a long time. But I certainly walk into the stadium, see the scene outside the stadium. A lot of times my family will go with me and they'll go, you know, get tickets, sit out there, wave at me while I'm in the press box. So if you'd like to elaborate on why you asked me that question, I'm here for more interaction with you.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hey guys, love the show. When you said honey and vinegar, I believe the correct term for what Vrabel is giving us right now is sunshine and roses. Maybe I just made that up, but I like it. Great job. Love your show.
Thank you.
So was sunshine and roses what you're looking for there?
No, it was the land of milk and honey. That's what
the land of milk and honey.
My dad always used to call
when honey and vinegar.
Yeah, I don't know. We would go to my grandparents' house and land of milk and honey. You know, no chores. Just sit around, do whatever you want.
It's good.
You know, the grandparents are always, you know, they don't demand
it's
anything.
Very old reference. You. Yes.
Yeah, land of milk and honey.
Like really old.
But also
biblical old.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah. But also, like, puppies and rainbows. You can do any sort of combination, like ice cream and...
anything.
Sugar. I don't know.
Well said. When we come back, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. We'll get into what this offseason has been like for him at Vanderbilt now with the season just a few weeks away. What does the quarterback battle look like as well? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. Clark, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing great. Just into this summer swing and having a lot of fun with recruiting and camps getting started. So we're staying busy over here, but enjoying every day.
Well, Clark, before we get started on the football side of things, I did kind of meet up with you last week at the Folds of Honor celebrity softball game. You were my coach. It was a great time out there. Good to catch up with you. What did you think of that event? How would you rate Robbie Stanley, Jared Stillman's softball swings out there?
Well, we got a lot of work to do, but, you know, I didn't know that going in. I know it now, so we'll have that plotted out over the next year for the next time we have that event. I thought it was fantastic. What a neat cause and just a special, special moment celebrating all those, the veterans' families, and it was great to be a part of, and obviously we had a good time too. Came up short in the game, but like I said, I've got a little bit better feel for what it's going to require next season, and we'll get back to work here shortly.
That's right. Make some adjustments along the way. So Clark, I'm sure the first few weeks and months on this job were a whirlwind. You're coming in from Notre Dame. There's a million different things going on. What's it been like for you trying to settle in here and evaluate where your program is as you've had more time to kind of get your feet underneath you here?
The month of May was really helpful for us. I think that was, you know, with our players having, you know, kind of left and, you know, taking some time at home, gave us a chance really just to collect as a staff to really tighten the lines of communication from staff to staff. In hopes that, you know, we get really good with our staff to player communication, and ultimately what you want is player to player. So all of that has to be strengthened from the top, and we spent a lot of time just going back through, hey, where do we start? You know, what do we do through the middle? How do we finish? And then how do we plot forward through June and July to make sure we have the best summer possible to get our team to fall camp ready to launch into the season. And we have a long way to go. But, you know, we're having fun, and every day is a celebration, and getting our team back in June and getting them back to work has been a blast. We're going to go do some bowling tonight as a team, and just we're enjoying the time together and again, building those connections to where we can face the challenges and adversity that await us, and the great moments of celebration that await us this fall. And that'll be a process, and we're right in the middle of it.
Clark, how would you describe the recruiting landscape right now? Everything has just opened up. I know it's been a long time, and of course, you've got, I don't know if chaos is the right word, but you've got everyone going full bore there. You've got the name, image, likeness thing. I know that's down the road, but it's being decided kind of as we speak. The portal is always, there as well. And then I'm wondering just how Vanderbilt has been received in your town. How would you describe this time right now from a recruiting perspective?
Well, I think you pretty well just described what life is like. There's a lot. We have a lot of balls in the air, and the one benefit of being new is we're so singularly focused on our identity that we're not caught up in a lot of the other things going on. This is just how we strengthen this team every single day, and so that's both our efforts with our team. Coach Horgan and his staff are working hard right now to train this team, to prepare them mentally and physically for what awaits in the fall. That's how we connect with our community. Post-pandemic now, where we're able to get out a little more and engage with our community, with our fan base, Nashville and beyond. That's really important to me as a part of my mission here at Vanderbilt is to. To really make this program Nashville's team, and that's going to require the building of relationships. And then obviously the recruiting piece, which is both on-campus visits, official visits, unofficial visits, and then also camps, the evaluation process. All of this kind of is on our plate right now, but we're staying focused on what we believe are the three things that matter most, which are those three. And it's been an absolute treat to have recruits on campus to interact with this coaching staff because there's only so much you can do over Zoom. It's hard, but the interpersonal connections, the energy, the alignment of our staff and our program right now, I think is making headways for us in recruiting. And these relationships will take time, but we've been pleased thus far with our visits.
Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hey, Clark, when you were first hired here by Vanderbilt, one of the many things we talked to you about was the investment into the program. And it comes out a couple of months ago that Vanderbilt announces the Vandy United Fund, and you're donating a commitment more of $300 million to the athletic department here. How big of a point of discussion was that to you when you talked about taking this job, and how big of a difference is that commitment going to make, in your opinion, to your program?
I always felt like that Vanderbilt football needed a chance, needed an opportunity to reach its potential. I felt that way since I was a player here. And there's a lot of factors embedded in that. I mean, there's a lot of things that can block the pathway to success. But, I believe in this place. I believe in this university. I believe in this program, this athletic department. And, certainly the level of commitment shown in the Vandy United campaign. I mean, the fact that our university has contributed $100 million to that is phenomenal. When I had a chance to meet in the interview process with Candace Lee, we didn't spend a lot of time on, facilities, to be quite honest. What we spent time on was our passion for Vanderbilt and what we believe can be built here. And That was really the only conversation I needed to have. When I felt her passion and her direction and just how aligned we were and what was needed for this program, and it's personal to us both. We're both fighting this as a personal battle because this is our school, it's our program, and we were desperate for it to be successful. I didn't know about the facility project. I didn't know it was on the books, and to me. It's an awesome thing for us to sustain success. And right now, our focus is on purely building the identity that's going to grow into that success. And so, we're going to have to be adaptable. The landscape's going to shift over here. You know, anytime you start bringing wrecking balls in and cranes and you start building, there's going to be some sticking and moving on our end. But we're so excited for the fact that our players will have the nicest facility in the country, that Vanderbilt football and Vanderbilt athletics, you know, will be the best student athlete experience in the country, that they'll have all the resources behind them, all the strength of this university behind them and their efforts. That really is the goal here. And to me, that speaks volumes about the support of this campus, the support of our chancellor, the moment we're in as a football program and as a department. This moment is so powerful. I'm grateful to be here. And this is all about how we sustain our success over time and build a program again that the city of Nashville can get behind and that rallies our university community as well.
Clark, I've heard, you know, fundraising is going well. The locker room's about done. Obviously, you know, there are more details to come on the specifics with the facilities, but how involved in those things are you along with everything else you have going on with this job?
Well, anything that our players are interacting with is important to me, and I think anything that is reflective of this program is important to me. The messaging is critical, you know, and you have to be very disciplined and very careful with, how you craft the image of the program, you know. And so what we've done is tried to strip away some of the ancillary things and really just focus on Vanderbilt football as the mission statement. I mean, that is the core value, and it's about building value into this program by what we invest and what we commit to. And I'm talking about internally. It's the internal perception that drives the external perception or the confidence that we have, that we carry for being a part of this program. And so when you talk about a locker room, this is a space that our players will, our team will be grown in this space, right? This is where our team will be built day in and day out. I want it to reflect, again, this alignment of resources with their efforts. I want them to have a level of convenience to get to those resources. I also want the messaging to be clear that, rather than be about things that that don't matter, we're going to be solely focused, singularly focused on the things that do matter. And that, again, is building the best team in the country. As far as my involvement, I try to have my hands in everything from a standpoint of if it's going to reflect our program, if it's going to be something that our players are interfacing with, you know, I'm going to need to be involved because we're in the infancy here, and, you know, we got a long way to go, but it's all about pouring that foundation. And so these are foundational components of our program. I need to be attentive to it and make sure that it gives us the best chance to launch into our future.
Clark, last thing for you here. Obviously, Ken Seals coming in last year as a true freshman. I think the third true freshman quarterback to start a season opener in the SEC since like 1972 or something like that. Obviously, had some ups and downs last year. A lot of good as well. What stood out to you watching Ken Seals on film? And what do you think is going to go into him taking the next step as y'all head into his sophomore season now?
Well, we have a quarterback battle here, you know. I mean, I think one thing that's really important to us is that, you know, we don't have any reason to have a starting quarterback in really at all positions. I mean, we want this to be fluid and competitive, and it needs to be earned every single day. So, you know, between Kenny, you know, Mike Wright and Jeremy Musa, you know, we have three guys that we believe in, we think can you know, depending on their development this summer and how they advance themselves and work on the things they need to work on, all three of them could be starting quarterbacks here. Obviously, with Kenny, he's got experience. And listen, there's loads of talent there. I mean, I am so excited to be his coach. I'm so excited to have him in this program. And, he had a really good spring where I think he came away confident in the things that he does well and then having clarity with the things he needs to work on moving forward. But I would say the same about Mike Wright and Moose. Those guys, all three, really at times flashed. I thought Mike had a great spring game and showed some of the dynamic athleticism that's going to allow him to be both a guy that can be a play creator with his legs, but also a skilled passer. I believe he threw three touchdown passes in that game, which speaks to that. But, you know, the thing about the quarterback position that can't be lost is that, as important as is the singular production is, there's also this element of you're the chemistry builder, you're the connector. And so I'm really interested to see how these guys will strengthen the other 10 positions on the field. That can be through communication, that can be through leadership skills and confidence, and obviously that can be through the rhythm and timing of throwing the ball and putting it in the right location. Yeah, certainly excited about Ken, and he's come back from home in great shape, and I know he's very focused on winning the quarterback battle, but same for Mike and same for Moose. And what a luxury to have three guys that can battle it out. And, you know, for Vanderbilt, we can line up with the best combination that gives us the most competitive chance to win games. And even beyond game one, you know, this is something that we'll want to continue to evaluate as the season goes, because for us, it's always going to be about how we get the best 11 players on that field and how we maximize and optimize our ability to make plays on offense.
Absolutely. Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Clark, I'm going to hit up the batting cages today. We'll get some work started on the softball game for next year. Appreciate so much you taking time to join us, and good luck as you continue to move forward here with football season right around the corner.
Hey, guys, it's always a pleasure to be on with you. And listen, we'll start up practice in July. Just be on the lookout for the email and make sure we're on time too, Robbie, please. I don't want to waste any time.
That's right. I'll see what I can do on that front. Appreciate you, Clark.
All right, guys. Thanks, y'all, Clark. Take care. We'll see you.
Absolutely. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll react a little bit to what Clark had to say there. Also, time for Call Your Shot Friday as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Let's know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It could be with the NFL. It could be the NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs. Any way you want to take it. The French Open, still underway as well. Any way you want to take it. It's available on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rexroad, how did we do last week in our edition of Call Your Shot Friday?
By the way, did we all, before I get to that, did we all call the shot that the Titans will trade for Julio Jones at some point?
We did.
Porth did a couple weeks ago.
I think I did first.
With Rashawn Evans going back. But you know, you got.
I was the most right.
Half right. You were the most right. Yes.
Congrats, Rob.
Is this just last week? Okay, so I. Okay, well, let's just go last week then. Okay, my called shot. Trade for Julio with a 2022 third and fourth, and will pay all the salary.
Yep.
But you said a second.
And I said it would happen over the weekend.
And you said it would happen over the weekend. So there you go. So that's
nailed it.
That's pretty good shots.
Nailed it.
That's pretty good. I'll go through mine real quick. I also said the Bucks will beat the Nets in six. I know they won last night, but they had like Joey Buckets couldn't hit a shot, and Durant and Kyrie weren't shooting well, and Harden didn't play, and
they look overmatched.
It's not going to happen.
It's still possible.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
There you go. I also have the Mavs beat the Clips in seven.
Eh.
I have the Canes will win in seven.
Eh.
And I had Vandy will cruise to its regional win in baseball. Tennessee will also win, but I had them having to beat Duke Monday to advance, so I'll take half credit. Robbie, we already gave you your Julio Jones credit. You had Colorado will win the first of two straight Stanley Cups. Let's give you a big
woo!
You got your Suns versus Bucks NBA Finals.
One of those two is looking good.
Man, y'all are all in on the Fear the Deer last Friday.
We went on Fear the Deer for sure.
Yeah.
Woof.
Well, we're not done with that. And you had this is a really good shot. You had Kamar Rocker and Jack Leiter combining for 21 strikeouts. They combined for 20 last
week. One off.
That's very good. Elijah, Bucks beat the Nets in seven. I mean, we were just a total Bucks homer show last
week. Really
I kind of didn't even.
I think it's just Well, I can't speak for the other two. I just hate Brooklyn so much that's why I did it. I don't know if, Rexroad, do you hate the Brooklyn Nets?
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
Maybe not as much, because I don't hate Kyrie Irving like some people do. I'm not a fan of James Harden. He's an incredible talent. it's not even personal.
I just
don't like watching a guy dominate the ball for 18 seconds of dribbling and then travel doing it like a three-step step back. He's incredible.
He does do that.
You know, and Durant kind of – like I am totally like when Durant was on the Warriors, I loved him, and now I'm like, eh. He's kind of a baby. But he also had Canadians will beat the Jets in six. Elijah did. So good job, yep. Elijah. And then he said Julio Jones will be traded this week, which is kind of a weak called shot, but he didn't say to who. He just said he'll be traded.
Well, he's right.
He was right. He is technically right. I think we need to start with Porth, right? Because Porth has got to have like so many shots built
up. Yeah, we always start with Porth. So with that in mind, Ryan Porth, mm-hmm. your called shots for the week are what?
I feel like it's been a while since I've participated in Call Your Shot Friday.
Yeah.
Because there was the Friday after the Preds got knocked out where I was not in here.
Correct.
Because of the wedding weekend. So, with that said, I only have three.
Okay.
So, first, Vegas will sweep Montreal.
Ooh. No faith in Shea Weber and the Habs.
Montreal, it's a nice story, but they have not faced a team like Vegas all season long.
I think we could be on the verge of finding out that the Canadian division, not
frauds.
All that good.
Yeah. They were all frauds.
Not all that good.
The entire time.
Yeah.
Another Stanley Cup playoff called shot. The Tampa Bay Lightning will repeat as Stanley Cup champs.
Okay.
And Andre Vasilevsky will win the Conn Smythe.
There you go. He's been awfully good in the playoffs so far.
And then final called shot. Derrick Henry will be on the Madden cover of Ooh. Madden 22.
I like that. Madden 22, Derrick Henry on the cover. This is the called shot. From Ryan Porth. I like it. Joe Rexroad, your called shots of the week.
I like that one. Now, that is, we talked about that yesterday. Now, there's a little bit of a leak, right? Was that true or not? Was that ever debunked? Like in February, there was a leak of what people thought was the Madden cover.
We don't know.
But yeah. But either way, you will get credit for the called shot. Okay, so you got, I'm late typing. Vasilevsky.
Conn Smythe. Derrick Henry. Cover athlete of Madden.
And then, but there was one more.
Habs getting swept.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's not that much of a shot, but okay.
Yeah, it is.
A sweep?
Come on.
Look at those teams.
I know.
How could it not be a sweep?
Oh, it could not be
okay,
a sweep.
Okay, well, we've said that about many playoff series.
That's true.
And it hasn't happened.
Yeah. But this one's obvious.
I did say the Oilers-Jets series was going to be a sweep.
Yeah, you did.
Just
had it the other way around.
Yeah.
Golly.
So, Joe Rexroad, right. Your called shots of the week.
My called shot. All right. So, I've got a little bit of a shot. This is long-term, and we can't measure it exactly, but I think we'll know.
Okay.
My called shot is that Jared Stillman, like Vols football fans, will, by the time we get to August, be 100% in. I heard the shift yesterday. So, like Vols fans with Heupel, you know, it's like, what the – what the Heupel, right?
Yeah.
Like, we did the same thing. And by the season, but like, that offense. Oh, yeah. And Stillman will be the biggest Julio stan by, like, mid-camp.
Stillman
of all of Nashville media.
He saw Julio do, like, those shuttle drills yesterday. He's all in now.
Oh, man. He's excited. He heard him say, you know, like, I'm a team guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's, oh, yeah. I'm with it. I'm all there. So that's one.
Chandler Jones.
Now this is, I think, a shot with the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Islanders will take the Lightning to seven.
Okay.
I think Trotz is going to take it the distance. They're going to overachieve again. They're going to exceed expectations. They're going to make it real close. Ultimately, Tampa Bay will prevail. Also, I'm just going to say my Cup final. That will be less competitive. Lightning over Vegas in five in the Cup final.
Five.
And one more called shot. I mean, I know these are all kind of like longer-term ones. I don't have a great one for this weekend, but the Utah Jazz going to win it all.
I like it. They look pretty good.
Utah Jazz going to win it all.
Over Brooklyn in the final?
Probably. I haven't thought about that. They're just going to win it all.
They're winning it all.
Yeah, probably.
There we go.
And that will be more satisfying for all of us.
Yeah, it would. I'll go quickly. I'm going to say Novak Djokovic upsets Rafael Nadal today. Nadal is money at the French Open. Great on the clay surface. I think Djokovic upsets him today. A lot of people, Nadal, the heavy favorite. I mean, a heavy favorite. On the FanDuel Sportsbook, he's like minus 275. Give me Djokovic to pull off the upset today.
I like it.
I say the Phoenix Suns sweep the Denver Nuggets. They're up 2-0 right now. Game 3 tonight. They're on the road in Denver. I think they're just a lot better. I think they sweep the Denver Nuggets. They get it done on the road. Going to be a tough week in Denver. Very tough week in Denver. Avalanche out last night. The Nuggets shortly follow against the Suns.
And then they don't get Aaron Rodgers.
That's funny you say that. That's my next called shot.
Uh-oh.
Aaron Rodgers starts week one for the Green Bay Packers. Ooh. He hangs around.
Did that like a month ago.
I was going to say, now, have you
What's
not-
that got to do with me?
I'm just saying. You're a little late on this.
Well, you has anything
both,
happened?
You can both be right. You haven't had any other Aaron Rodgers called shots? Like,
no.
Him going somewhere else? Okay.
Why would I call he's going somewhere else?
I think I called the shot he's going to Denver, right?
I think you did.
Yeah. All right. There we go. We all have Rodgers called shots.
There you go.
All right.
Let's quickly go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alex texting in, the baseball sweep LSU and book their ticket to Omaha. So, Alex, a lot of faith in Tony Vitello and company to get it done against LSU. Caleb saying the Canadians will beat Vegas in 6 games. So, Port saying Canadians are going to get swept. Caleb says Canadians beating Vegas in 6. That'll be a heavy underdog.
Just imagine if that happens.
Going to be a heavy underdog.
A Montreal. What if it's Montreal Islanders for the Stanley Cup?
Greg also says Montreal beats Vegas in 6. Have y'all watched Vegas?
Man.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, they cranked it to a level that even Colorado couldn't match.
Yeah. Michael on the text line from Madison says, the Madden 22 cover was leaked as Derrick Henry, so it's not really a called shot.
Well, do we know that's a legit leak?
No, I mean,
it's not been made official.
They've never confirmed that was the actual cover. So, but yeah, there's a lot of speculation. Something leaked, something came out, but that's happened before, right, where people
– sure.
create something to make it look like
you can easily create a leak with Madden.
And also, who knows, maybe the Madden people saw the leak and said, well, then never mind, we're gonna do
Julio Jones,
Tom Brady,
Julio Jones on the cover from the Titans.
There you go. Wow,
there you go.
Imagine that.
Maybe they make it the three-headed monster now: Julio, AJ, and Derrick Henry.
Yeah, NFL, by the way, put out a tweet like the Titans trio. There's got to be a better nickname. I don't know what
we can come up with something. Yeah. Speaking of the Titans, when we come back, we'll get back into the Titans. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, will join us next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.